Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining Managing Transitions conference call. Your host for today is Ms. Vicki Kollwill. Go ahead, Ms. Kollwill.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Managing Transitions teleconference. My name is Vicki Kollwill and I am your host for this teleconference. I'm a licensed counselor with a master's in community counseling and currently am the programs and services coordinator for the chapter based out of the Albuquerque, New Mexico office. Worked at the Society for almost 4 years, including over 2 years at the Information Resource Center in Denver. During this teleconference, we will learn about how to handle the many challenges people with MS may experience. MS can throw daily challenges your way in the form of new symptoms, employment issues, altering family dynamics, etc. During this teleconference, you will learn how to adjust, cope, and adapt to these changes, discuss emotional responses like grief and loss, and discover what society resources exist to help you through these transitions. The teleconference has two parts, coping with change and how the National MS Society can help you through these changes. Dr. Rosalind Kalb will present part one, Lemons to Lemonade, Coping with Change. Dr. Kalb is the Vice President of the Professional Resource Center at the National MS Society in New York City, developing and providing educational materials and consultation services for healthcare providers. As a clinical psychologist in private practice, Dr. Kalb has provided individual and family therapy for people living with MS for more than 25 years. She is the author of the National MS Society's Knowledge is Power series for individuals newly diagnosed with MS, senior author of Multiple Sclerosis for Dummies, and co-author of MS, Understanding the Cognitive Challenges. Dr. Kalb is also the editor of two books, Multiple Sclerosis, The Questions You Have, The Questions and the Answers You Need, and Multiple Sclerosis, A Guide for Families. For more information on these publications, you can call us at 1-800-344-4867, or check our website at www.nationalmssociety.org, and we will repeat that several times throughout the teleconference today. Our second speaker is Paula Sussman. She is a licensed social worker, and she will present part two, How We Help and the Services We Offer. Paula has been employed with the National MS Society for 10 years. She is an information and referral specialist at the Information Resource Center of the National MS Society in Denver. Prior to working at the IRC, Paula was Senior Manager of Emotional Health Programs at the Colorado Chapter of the National MS Society for almost 9 years. In that role, she provided counseling, oversaw and trained self-help group leaders, and peer support volunteers. She has a master's degree in social work and has worked with people who have medical issues such as brain injuries and strokes. Some things to note today is that we have several people on this call, including people from Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arkansas, and New Mexico. Regarding questions, we will open the phone lines to participants who have questions at the end of the presentations. Slides were emailed or mailed to all registered participants unless you registered today. If you did not receive them or if you want additional copies, you would just contact us at our 1-800-344-4867 number, or you'd email us through our website, thenationalmssociety.org. This teleconference is being recorded and ultimately will be on our website. And again, we will repeat our phone number and website information. It's, again, www.nationalmssociety.org, and our phone number is 1-800-344-4867, or 1-800-FIGHT-MS. Dr. Kalb will now present part one, Lemons to Lemonade, Coping with Change.
Thank you for that nice introduction and making sure we all know how to get in touch for follow-up questions. So I hope you all wrote down the phone number. I'm really pleased to be here with all of you tonight. I wish I could see you and talk to you in person, but I'm glad that from my home in Connecticut, I'm able to connect with so many of you in the South Central region. I want to talk tonight about how to cope with change, and so there's a brief outline in your slides of what I'm going to try to cover tonight. How much change is a part of all of our everyday lives with or without MS, and the ways in which changes in our lives provide challenges as well as opportunities, regardless of the kinds of changes we experience. And MS, as all of you know, I don't need to tell you this because you are all living with it, MS often involves changes and certain kinds of losses. And so as we delve more into how to cope with those changes, we're going to talk about the role of healthy grieving, the difference between acceptance and adaptation as one tries to work one's way through these changes, and what are some helpful coping strategies. So let's look first at some of the ways that changes happen in our everyday life. Sorry, I keep forgetting to ask Vicki to move the slides on. So we just went through the outline, so we want to move ahead to change as part of our daily lives. Thank you. So there are changes that we all want, that we work toward. We, as children, want to grow up. Everybody wants to be older. We want to grow up. We want to get educated. We want to find a life partner, maybe have children, buy a house, buy a bigger house, win the lottery. These are just examples of the kinds of changes that people want in their lives. And similarly, there are a lot of changes that we try to avoid. For example, having waited all those years trying to grow up, then we try to avoid getting older, aging. I'm in the age range where we're focused on trying not to get older now. We try to avoid major losses, whether it's loss of a job or a spouse or a friend or our health. We try to avoid major gains, like putting on a lot of weight that we don't want to have, or getting into debt and owing more money than we can manage. We try to avoid getting ill or getting injured. So life is filled with changes, some of which are positive and we want, and some which we try to avoid. Next slide, please. Regardless of what kind of change it is, whether it's positive or negative, a change can be challenging. So if we look at some common positive changes first, for example, getting promoted at work, or getting married, or having a new baby. These are wonderful changes that provide opportunities for us to grow as individuals, for us to learn new skills, feel proud of what we do. They are very fulfilling kinds of changes, but even those positive changes can bring stress and anxiety along with them. So there are positive and negative feelings for any change, even very positive ones. If we think about the negative changes in our lives, for example, getting diagnosed with a chronic illness or a loss of a job or something like that, you can see that many similar feelings can occur. There's feelings of loss when there's a negative change. There's anxiety and stress, just like there were with some of the positive changes, but also those losses, those negative changes offer us opportunities to learn new skills, to feel as though we've grown as individuals and gained greater mastery. So it's just important to recognize that all the changes in our lives bring complex feelings but also opportunities for growth. Next slide, please. Changes also alter perceptions. First and foremost, they alter the way we see ourselves. And you can see on this slide, if you have it in front of you, that perceptions change in a variety of ways. As the arrows show, you can have a more positive perception of yourself or a more negative perception of yourself, depending on the change, or it can stay pretty much consistent. But the kinds of perceptions that are affected are the picture that we have of ourselves, the self-image. So, for example, if you've had a picture of yourself as a healthy, active person, and suddenly you're diagnosed with a chronic illness, that picture of yourself has to change and adapt, and we'll talk about that more in a little while. Also, one's self-concept, which is not just the picture of oneself, but the thoughts that we have about ourselves. may be affected by changes that we go through. And certainly self-confidence can go up or down depending on the changes we're experiencing. Similarly, these changes can affect the way others perceive us. Again, positively, negatively, or pretty much the same. So people may perceive differences in a person's appearance once that person, for example, has been diagnosed with an illness that has visible symptoms or they're using a mobility aid. They may perceive the person differently, incorrectly or correctly, and make assumptions based on what they see. They may also perceive a person's actions as different. Let's say in the workplace, if a person isn't able to do things quite the way he or she was doing them before, outsiders, others, look at one's actions and draw conclusions based on those actions. So it can change people's attitudes and their opinions about a person's ability. Now, again, that doesn't mean that anybody's perceptions or thoughts are correct or incorrect. It simply means that as outsiders perceive changes in a person, those changes affect their attitudes. Next slide, please. And the changes can also alter feelings, right? As people living with changes, either positive or negative, go through those changes and all the feelings associated with them, there may be lots of up and down feelings, as these little figures show. And similarly, others' feelings about us as we're going through changes can alter. And I think one of the things that is challenging about these changes in perception, changes in feelings, is that they're often very hard for people to talk about. And so one of the challenges as you're living through changes in your life, whether related to MS or any other changes, is how to talk about them with other people so that any concerns can be shared openly, any perceptions can be understood or corrected if they're wrong. For example, you know, we talk a lot about the invisible symptoms of MS, and anybody with a recent diagnosis of MS may go through that challenge of people saying, but you look so good. I don't get it, you know, because a lot of the symptoms like fatigue or mood changes or some of the sensory discomforts that can happen or bladder or bowel issues aren't visible to other people. So they may perceive you as looking just fine when you inside are not feeling so good. And so being able to communicate, educate other people can help when there are misunderstandings or misperceptions about what's going on. Next slide, please. So life with MS is, I think, by definition, a life filled with change. And those changes can be quite unpredictable. We know that MS has as one of its main hallmarks that it is a very unpredictable disease. People don't know how they're going to feel from one day to the next or 1 week or month to the next. And that creates a lot of stress and emotional discomfort. And some of those changes can be quite frightening. You know, people talk to me a lot about waking up in the morning with MS and doing a kind of body check. You know, what's working today? Are my eyes working the way they're supposed to? How are those legs feeling today? Is my thinking clear? So those changes can be so unpredictable that from day to day, people kind of check in to see how they're doing. Life with MS can also involve certain kinds of losses. Certainly people's ability to function in various ways can be changed by MS, and their sense of control over their bodies, their lives, can be affected by the disease. And all of those changes can require a person to make a lot of changes in everyday life. How they function at home, how they function at work, what kinds of assistance they need. And when those changes happen, they can threaten a person's self-confidence, self-image, self-concept, the way we talked about before. Sometimes those changes can interfere with independence. It simply becomes too difficult to do some of the things one always did in the past and have to rely on others for some assistance or the use of mobility aids or other kinds of assistive devices. And so one has to redefine a little bit what independence means and what control means in order to remain as active and independent and productive as you want to be. All of those are changes, but those changes offer people opportunities to be very, very creative, to solve problems in a variety of new ways they never had to even think about before. And when people are able to problem solve that way, they get a sense of mastery and of accomplishment and personal growth. And so a lot of people with MS will say that one of the benefits that they've had as they've had to live with the challenges of MS is that they've discovered talents they didn't know they had, strengths they didn't know they had. So even those very difficult challenges led to positive feelings. Next slide, please. So let's look at the kinds of impact that MS-related challenges can have. You know, I think one of the first things that happens is that there's a change in one's identity, that picture of self that we talked about before, that there's a changed perception from being a person who was healthy, well, had no diagnoses, to suddenly a person who's now living with an unpredictable chronic illness. And along with that come symptoms with the disease, sometimes physical, sometimes cognitive, even emotional changes. But those symptoms, whatever they turn out to be, may affect one's abilities to do different things, activities that you may have taken for granted in the past, but suddenly the symptoms interfere with those abilities. And that means that the activities that you take for granted, whether at home or at work, suddenly may need to change. And when those activities change, what people find is that their roles may then change. The position that they've held at work or the role they've played in the household or in the community may change. So all of these changes build on each other, and one has to sort of get one's head around all of those changes in order to figure out how to begin to cope with them and manage them in a way that feels workable and satisfying. Next slide, please. I think one of the most important takeaways about change is that all of the ways that MS can impact a person and all of the changes that we've talked about offer opportunities for growth. They're difficult, they're challenging, and sometimes scary, but at each of these points in time, there are opportunities for growth. And I hope by the time we get through the end of tonight's call, you know, you'll have a sense of how to look for those growth opportunities even as you're trying to figure out how to deal with the challenges that MS throws your way. So certainly when one is diagnosed with a chronic illness and then as that illness changes over time, there's always opportunities for education. And the National MS Society, I think, is deeply committed to making sure that people have all the resources that they need to learn about the disease, because without that education, it's very hard for you to participate as a partner in your own care. So education is a growth opportunity that comes with the disease. Certainly, as symptoms happen, either come along for the first time or change over time, the opportunities there are for how to learn how to manage them successfully so that they interfere as little as possible with your daily activities and with the goals that you have for yourself. So ways to manage them medically, ways to handle them through rehabilitation and other strategies that the healthcare team can offer are all ways that you master those symptoms so that you can get on with your life. Certainly when activities are affected, when the symptoms get in the way of the everyday activities that are important to you, that's an opportunity to use various kinds of assistive technology to make sure that those activities are impacted as little as possible. And one of the big, I think, emotional changes that happens at this point in time is that one decides that the symptoms are getting in the way, activities aren't going quite as smoothly as they were before, but if you decide that it's okay to do things differently, to make use of the tools and resources that are available, you can continue to do most of those things that are important to you. You may do them differently, but you're still able to get them done. So when symptoms impact activities, that opportunity for growth is to engage with the world of technology to help you keep doing those important things. And certainly when life roles change, you know, if things change at work or you become unable to stay in the workforce, or the things that you've been used to handling at home have to shift a little bit and you may have to trade off with your partner or another family member because those activities have affected the ways you carry out your roles, that's when there's huge opportunities for growth around communication, because adjusting the roles that you carry out and working with your family members to make sure that your partnerships stay balanced, stay effective, that you both feel like contributing members of a household, for example, takes good communication. Same thing at work. If you have to shift the way you do your job at work and you have to find ways to partner with some of your colleagues to get things done, communication is key to making that successful. And that is, communication is always a growth opportunity for all of us. Next slide, please. So there are certain steps that I think one can take from the time that a change impacts your daily life to turn that change into an opportunity. Next slide. So I think that adapting to the changes is a process. It's not something that happens overnight, particularly when changes are unpredictable or have a really major impact on your daily life. There's a process that may take some time for adjustment and adaptation. So when there are changes, there are some really common initial reactions. You remember back to the diagnosis or when a new symptom entered your life. There's a certain amount of shock and disbelief that goes along with that. Certainly anxiety about what this is going to mean and what else is likely to happen in the future. And people get angry because no one likes to feel out of control, and these unpredictable changes can make anybody feel a little out of control. And also there's grief, and we're going to talk more about grief, but I just want to highlight that that is a common and healthy reaction when changes take place that involve loss. After those initial reactions, I think there's a process of acknowledgement that happens over time. One gradually has to come to terms with the fact that some change has taken place, and that change may be here to stay for a while or forever, but I think one moves beyond that this isn't happening, I don't believe it, I don't want this, to a recognition that yes, in fact, change has occurred. Once that recognition happens, I think the next step is to figure out, okay, how am I going to live with that change? How am I going to adapt to it? And that's when all of one's problem-focused coping skills are called upon, because it takes effort and creativity and curiosity, I think, to figure out how one is going to adapt and work around whatever changes have happened. And as that process unfolds and one puts those problem-focused coping skills to work and you identify ways to solve problems, that's when you feel very proud and your confidence gradually grows that you can handle the things that MS throws your way, and you discover all these things about yourself that you didn't know. Your ability to problem solve, your talent for finding workarounds, your smarts that enable you to go search for resources and find what you need. Next slide, please. So let's go to step one and talk a little more about grieving. You know, I've worked in MS for a lot of years, and virtually everything I'm talking to you about tonight, I have learned from people just like you. And what I learned was that grief is part of living with MS. And I use this picture to help explain it. If this puzzle is you, and you've created this puzzle that represents you over your whole lifetime. It's made up of all the things that make you uniquely you, your talents, your skills, your quirks, your foibles, the things you're not so proud of. Everything is there, part of you. And when you get an MS diagnosis, it's like the doctor hands you another puzzle piece, and you suddenly have to figure out where that piece is going to fit into the picture you have of yourself. And it takes a while to figure out where it's going to go. It takes some people longer than others. Some people actually kind of go to pieces when they first hear this news, and then they have to gradually pull themselves back together and begin to cope. And others spend some time kind of closing up their puzzle and saying, I don't believe this. This isn't true. I'm not going to deal with this. And it takes them a while to realize that, yes, MS is here to stay, and that piece does have to fit. And that's a grieving process. Until one goes through that feeling of loss over giving up the old picture that you've spent a lifetime developing, you can't really begin to figure out how MS is going to fit into your life. And the tricky thing about MS, I think what really makes it challenging, is that every time there's a new symptom or a symptom gets worse and interferes with something that's important to you or makes you have to do something a different way, you have to go through the process all over again. There is a feeling of loss. There is a grieving that has to take place. The puzzle picture that you have of yourself has to change to fit that new symptom. And so the grieving happens again and again and again as you have to deal with those changes. Next slide, please. So the next step after that is to figure out how you're going to fit that new bit of information about yourself into your picture. And I would just suggest that there's a difference between asking yourself to accept it and asking yourself to adapt to it. I think it's too much to ask of yourself to say, I accept MS. It's a little bit like asking yourself to adjust to an earthquake under your feet that never goes away. It's ever-changing. It's challenging all the time. So I think asking yourself to accept that is probably asking too much of yourselves. And I think that there's also something implied in acceptance which is more passive and more limiting in your ability to grow from it. And so I would encourage you to think more in terms of adapting to MS as it brings changes to your life, because adaptation is not passive. It's an active process. It's creative. It can give you a lot of energy, self-satisfaction, and pride. It is very solution-focused. It is meeting each challenge and figuring out the workarounds that will keep you doing the things that you want to do. And as you find solutions, that promotes growth. And that's what life is all about, is promoting your own growth. Next slide, please. So adaptation has several components. There's a lot on this slide, and I'll go through it quickly. But I think when you adapt, what you're doing is focusing on battles, the individual challenges that you can master, rather than on trying to win the war against MS. We don't know how to win that war yet. And when people say, I'm going to beat this, I'm going to be the one who, you know, that MS doesn't defeat, I think sometimes that's setting oneself up for disappointment and for feelings of failure. We don't have a cure yet. But if you focus on each challenge as it comes along, that's when you can capitalize on your problem-solving strengths. You can look at ways you've coped with challenges in the past successfully and put those skills to work to manage these individual challenges of MS. You also have an opportunity to really build your support system, both your emotional support network with family and friends, but also your support system in the community with the National MS Society. You can identify any attitudes, self-defeating attitudes that get in your way, either or other people's attitudes that get in your way. This is a time to figure out how you can think positively about the challenges that you have in front of you. And again, identifying tools and resources, certainly taking care of the whole you. MS is just a part of you, and so you want to make sure that you're nurturing your whole self, dealing with your own health and wellness, which goes way beyond MS, because all of that will help you to adapt to MS in a healthy way. Adapting may mean enjoying newfound interests and abilities. If MS has interfered with some of the things you did in the past, it is an opportunity to try some things you may never have tried before or ever thought you'd be interested in. People talk about finding whole new hobbies, interests, even careers that they would never have had the opportunity to discover if MS hadn't sort of forced it on them. Adaptation also involves taking pride in your successes, patting yourselves on the back when you do master a challenge that comes your way, and asking for help when you need it. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. In fact, it's a sign of strength, and it means that you're tapping the resources that are out there. Next slide, please. Step three, and I think sort of the biggest or culminating step of adaptation, is to find a place for the illness. In other words, to make space for it in your life while keeping the illness in its place. In other words, you do need to adapt. You do need to find a place for that puzzle piece that keeps changing, but you don't want to give it more space than it absolutely needs. And that's where all the resources can help you to make sure, because MS gets greedy. It will use your emotional energy, your physical energy, your financial resources, and you really want to make sure it's not getting more than it deserves. Next slide, please. So here's a question to ask yourself, and I would suggest that you ask it pretty regularly. You draw a circle on a piece of paper, and just ask yourself, how big is MS in my life? There'll be some times when it feels like just a tiny sliver, and sometimes when it feels like it's taking up the whole space. So it's a good little check-in with yourself. Next slide, please. And if it starts to feel as though MS is taking over all of you, all of your life, that's a good time to look for your MS free zone. And that's something that I've talked about over the years as that part of you that MS can't touch. And you may have trouble getting in touch with it, and you may have to ask people who love you what it is, but it could be your sense of humor, it could be your religious beliefs, your spiritual beliefs, it could be your enjoyment of music. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's some part of you that you can tap into to give you the emotional energy that you need to keep doing all of this adapting and coping and problem solving that you need to do. So it's a very important part of you, and we all have it. It's just sometimes it's hard to find. So we're going to come back later for some questions, and I'm happy to hear your questions and comments about any of this. And thank you. I hope that this has been a helpful conversation about coping with change. Thank you. Paula, it's all yours.
Now we will have Paula Sussman from the IRC talk about how we can help and what services we offer.
Hi, everyone. I do want to talk about how to access our services. The Information Resource Center, I work there, and we help out people from all the chapters, but focusing on the South Central region, we are your starting point to contact us whenever there's anything you need. We are open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. Central Time, and the number is 1-800-344-4867. People typically contact us for several reasons. They're newly diagnosed with MS, an employment issue comes up, people want general information on symptoms, how is MS diagnosed, what is the latest in research. People may call us when their MS is getting worse, they're having an exacerbation. We get calls from family members and friends talking about a loved one who has MS and their concerns. We also get a lot of calls from people who are struggling financially and trying to figure out what their options are. We get calls from people who are trying to find resources such as neurologists, home health care, you name it. We get a lot of calls there. And also just calls from people who need somebody to talk to. They're just having difficulty coping and need to figure out how to cope. And there are many, many other reasons why somebody would call us. And as I said, we just encourage you to call us whenever you have a concern, because we can help you to access programs and services through the chapter. And then we can also help you to find community resources to help you. So breaking this down, I want to discuss a little bit about the programs that the South Central region offers. One is financial assistance. As Ross mentioned, sometimes people need help financially. And the South Central region can help out with the costs of several things, such as counseling, durable medical equipment, items such as wheelchairs, scooters, walkers. Sometimes we can help out with home modifications, such as if you need a ramp or a modification to your car, maybe you need hand controls. We can help with transportation to get you to a medical appointment, with respite care, if there may be caregivers on the line, if you need to go out of town to know that your loved one is being cared for, or if you know, or if you're just home from the hospital and needing some extra help. We also can help out with critical short-term needs, you know, such as you really are in a bind and need help with a rent payment, utility bill, or something like that. And the first step to accessing financial assistance is to contact us, because we can help you to find community resources to check, as well as help you to start applying for financial help through the South Central region. Another program that we offer is called Career Coaching, and what this is you can work one-on-one by telephone with a professional career coach to achieve whatever employment and career goals you have. You know, we do need to know that you have MS. We need to have that verified by a doctor. And you either need to be at risk for losing your job or have lost your job, or even working but considering a career change because of MS. Sometimes that happens where your job is just not doable, so you need to look at what other jobs you can do. So we encourage you to call us anytime you run into that situation, as well as we also have tons of information about employment in general. Next slide, and Vicki, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting to say next slide. We have a lending library, and anyone can borrow from our lending library. You don't need to have MS to do this. We have books, videos, DVDs on many, many topics concerning MS. We encourage you to borrow from us. We want you to learn as much as you can. So just let us know whenever you're interested, and we can either send you a list or we can instruct you about how to access it from the South Central Region website. Another program that we have that we can connect you with is what's called peer support. And there's different types of peer support available. But one type of peer support I want to mention is a resource that's called MS Friends. And this is a telephone support line that you can call at any time of day or night, 7 days a week, and you can talk to another person who has MS. And it's really an immediate lifeline where they're going to know what you're going through. If you're newly diagnosed, coping with changes in your MS, how to deal with those loving friends and family. So that's another resource to consider. And also, there are online resources we can discuss with you. And then for the South Central Region, there are also some teleconference and online self-help groups. There's a stay-at-home group. We know some of you live in more rural areas where it may be hard to get to a group, so this is an option. For Spanish-speaking callers, we have a group called Café con Leche. And for those of you who happen to have MS and cancer, we also have a group for those who are dealing with two diagnoses at the same time. In addition to that, we have in-person self-help groups. These are led by trained volunteers who have a connection with MS. They have MS or a family member with MS. They meet throughout the month and meet in various locations. These groups are wonderful. It's great to be able to talk to a whole group of people, again, who know what you are dealing with. Some of them have already been there, can share their experiences about how they have coped. And it's really nice to learn and to grow with each other. And you can have fun. These groups are not pity parties in any way, shape, or form. They really are there to help. And again, we have a list of self-help groups in your area, so please call us. Another group that we have is what's called an MS Mothers Listserv. This is an email group, and this is for women who have MS and who are raising children for their unique needs. And again, it's a great way to connect with other mothers who have MS, to share information, tips, just to offer each other encouragement. And we can help you to get registered for that. So, let us know if you're interested. Next slide. We also have what's called a Planning Wise program. This is a little bit different than the career coaching program I mentioned. Some of the criteria for getting involved in it is the same, but it's for people who are looking both at employment issues, but also at planning their whole financial future, looking at the interplay between looking at the retirement options, their benefits, and their employment at the same time. And we can help you to get connected to this program. I also want to mention a program that's called Service Management. And to me, Service Management is kind of like an umbrella program that it can encompass any one of the programs I mentioned and go beyond that. In Service Management, you can work one-on-one with a case manager who can assess your whole situation, can help you to figure out what your immediate right now goals are and some long-term goals to help stabilize your situation when you are experiencing the earthquake under your feet, as Roz mentioned. A case manager can help you to coordinate community services, can also help direct you to financial resources in the community and within the chapter. And this can be done in many ways, with a case manager coming to your home, talking to you by telephone. And it's a nice resource for those of you who may just need somebody to really work with you one-on-one. I want to move on now, and this is next slide, to giving you an update, kind of a heads up about some future teleconferences that we have scheduled. On Wednesday, July 13th, we have a program we're going to have a speaker named Dr. Flavia Nelson, who's going to talk about the latest MS research and what it can mean for you in the future. And I can tell you that if you look at our website, www.nationalmssociety.org, you can see that practically on a daily basis there is some sort of a research update. So there's lots going on. Then in August, on Wednesday, August 10th, we have a teleconference that is geared for caregivers. And when you're a caregiver, there can certainly be rewards to caring for somebody with MS, but it can also be really tough. It can be physically and emotionally exhausting, especially if you're the primary caregiver. And this program is going to offer you, it's going to discuss some truths and misconceptions about caregiving, as well as help you to develop some coping skills and a support system for yourself as a caregiver. And then in September, we have a program to help you to learn to navigate the National MS Society website so you can stay on top of everything that relates to news, research, programs, and events. We have an excellent website. There is tons of information on it, but it can be complex to navigate, and so we encourage you to look into this program. But by the same token, our information referral specialist, any one of us can help you while we're on the phone, or we can send you the instructions about how to navigate the website. So don't hesitate to pick our brains. So in a nutshell, the South Central region and the Information Resource Center, we work together hand in hand to provide you the programs and services and resources that you need. So again, don't hesitate to call us. We're there for anybody who's affected by MS, people with MS, caregivers, families, friends, anybody who's affected by it. So thank you, and I guess we can open this up for questions, right, Vicki?
That's correct. Thank you again, Paula. And as Paula and Dr. Cobb have said, really love for you to contact us by email or phone regarding any MS-related issues, needs, questions, calling for support. Please always know that you can contact us. And as Dr. Kelp said, asking for help is a sign of absolute personal strength. So thank you. And again, operator, please open up the lines for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have any questions, please press the number 1 key on your phone. Again, if you would like to ask any questions, please press the number 1 key on your phone now. Our first question comes from Wendy. Go ahead, Wendy.
Yes, good evening. My name is Wendy. I've been diagnosed with MS for 14 years. I'm mobile with a rolling walker, recently divorced, live alone, as independent as I can possibly be. I've made a very huge and very good decision to move back home to where my family and friends are, and have run into some real issues in finding a home that is wheelchair accessible, that's suitable to my needs and safety. And it's caused me a great deal of anxiety. Is there any resources available in the regard of possibly real estate agents that specialize, you know, or resources where a home can be made adaptable for your needs?
I can jump in on that. Yes, you know, there very well may be resources. Do you already live in the home that you want to make more, that you want to modify?
It sounds as though she hasn't found a place yet.
Oh, okay, I haven't found a place. I'm sorry. We can help you with that. You mentioned real estate agents. Yeah, we can. There may be real estate agents in your area. Plus, we have, depending on if you want to buy a place or rent a place, we have resources for what's called subsidized accessible housing, and we can help you to explore what's in your area, whether we look by whatever city you live in or whatever county. So, you know, definitely call us or email us, and then we can also give you, we can also help you to find resources to modify your home, whether it's finding specialists that can do the home modifications, but also finding the funding for the home modifications. So you definitely contact us, and, you know, we can help you to see what's available to you.
And that's a perfect question, because that's why we're here, where we are here to help you access those resources. What exists in your community? How can we assist? You know, will it mean that it would be best to apply for financial assistance? Would service management help you, especially, you know, if you live in an area that's rural or limited resources? That's why we're here, and that's a perfect example of that it's time to contact us. So absolutely, thank you for that question. Ready for next question?
Next question is from Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, I'm trying to determine basically the same thing. Is there anything available whereby we can get people to come in and assist with my physical needs, my daily physical needs? Who would I contact for things like that, you know, bathing, showering, assisting me with taking care of my daily help is what I need.
Again, that's something that you can call or email us about, because we could check in your area to see what type of home health care resources there are, you know, depending on what you need. So we could, you know, try to find that. And as Vicki mentioned, you know, sometimes in more rural areas, we might want to get service management involved to help out there. But just contacting us would be, you know, the starting point, so we could get a better sense of your need and try to figure out what's available for you.
Exactly. Thank you for that question.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press the number one key on your phone. Our next question comes from Barbara. Barbara, go ahead.
Thank you. Please tell me, are there information resource centers for every region in our country? I'm planning to move from Texas to Wisconsin, and I have the same questions that the first person had about finding accessible housing.
You know, the answer is yes. We have one information resource center that handles the calls for, well, really in the entire United States, and we have an extensive database of resources, access to the programs and services that all of the chapters provide. So we're the starting point, so that before you moved or when you've moved or whatever, you can contact us, and we can help you to figure out resources. You know, so don't, as I said, don't hesitate to get a hold of us.
And what's neat is that one call does it all, so no matter where you are, like if you live in Texas and you're moving to Washington, you can say, hey, I'm in Texas right now, I'm moving to Washington. What does the chapter do in Washington State? What resources are available? I might be moving to Seattle. What's there? And that's what's really neat. I put up our website, and so if you are online, you should be able to see that. And if you scroll down, way down, there's a contact us right there. And if you do that, you can go directly to the chapter website, or you just fill this out, you know, reasons for contacting us, put your information in, and then this will get sent to the Information Resource Center, and they'll handle. And that's what's really neat. We work together as one team. So that was a great question, too. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Cheryl. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you. I know that there are a lot of resources for individuals with MS as well as caregivers, but are there any groups, like self-help groups or resources available to friends and loved ones of individuals with MS?
Yes, there very well may be. You know, it depends, again, on the area you live in, about how many resources there are, but we can help you to find caregiving resources or resources for family members, friends, and it may be in the community or maybe through the South Central region, and sometimes we can find online resources. There are a lot of national resources. So definitely contact us, and we'll try to help you. And the other thing too is we have a lot of besides groups, we have a lot of information for caregivers. So that's another resource to consider.
Our next question comes from Roxana. Go ahead, Roxana.
Yes. What is the phone number or the website for the Information Resource Center? I'm not on the computer.
The phone number is 1-800-344-4867, and it will prompt you to dial option number 1.
Okay.
The website is www.nationalmssociety.org. And Vicki, I know you have your computer up in front of you, but it's pretty easy to find a contact us portion of the website.
Correct. If you do have internet access, when you go on our website, the www.nationalmssociety.org, you'll find our logo on the upper left, and it's MS is in orange and has a slash through it. And just next to our logo, you'll see about the society and then find a chapter. You can certainly go through that link to look at the chapter. So I'll go on that now for those of you who do have access to internet. And that's from this screen, you would put in your zip code. But the other thing you can do is at the bottom of the web page, there is a contact us, and that's how you can email us, and that's right there, contact us. But otherwise, to always know, you can call the 1-800-344-4867, and then if you select option 1, it will connect you to our Information Resource Center, and the Information Resource Center has the exact same information that the chapter office will have. So, for example, I'm in Albuquerque, and if someone is in Albuquerque and they're calling for Albuquerque resources, that call will route through our Information Resource Center, and that caller would get really good information from the Information Resource Center on local programs and local resources. So, again, it's 1-800-344-4867.
Our next question comes from Frederica. Go ahead, Frederica.
Hi, this is Freddie Gems in Amarillo. There's a strange phenomenon going on with me, I think, because I've had MS for for over 50 years, and I find that some people are beginning to feel a little hostile in that they sort of look at me, like when I go back to Boston, as if to say, you know, are you still around? You know, how come, you know, you're still walking and you're still doing this and you're still doing that? And it's almost like a hostility. These people, I mean, we've been in Texas for 25-6 years, and it's a really strange phenomenon. And I just don't know quite what to do about it.
So this is Roz, and I'm going to try to answer that one for you. I think, you know, it partly has to do with people's expectations for what happens to somebody who has MS. So they may just be puzzled as opposed to hostile, and it may be an opportunity for you to provide a little education about how variable MS is, how different it is from one person to another, an opportunity to explain about not all symptoms of MS are visible. So everybody lives with different kinds of challenges, and that you know, you're dealing with your own particular set of symptoms. I don't think you have to apologize to anybody for still being alive or doing well. I think you just have to educate them so that they have a better understanding of what MS is all about. If you feel very brave, you can also ask somebody what they're thinking or why they seem upset about it. But I think it's really all about education. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Roz.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if there's any questions you have, please press the number 1 key on your phone. There are no further questions in queue.
Thank you. So this concludes the teleconference for this evening. But if you have any questions about the teleconference, again, you can email us through our website. I've emailed all of you, so you can also reply to my email and ask your question. And, of course, you know, you can call us at that 1-800-344-4867 number. And again, I've emailed the slides to everybody, unless you registered within the last few hours, and mailed it to everyone unless you registered today, but that will go out in the mail. And again, this teleconference will ultimately be on our website. And this concludes the program for tonight. Thank you.